Wednesday, August 28th. German planes are reported to have resumed mass daylight attacks on England. In Berlin, the official news agency claims German planes raided industrial points in England last night. And in Rome, Italian raiders are said to have bombed oil and railroad stations at Haifa in Palestine. The British raided Lombardy and Piedmont areas in Italy. And in Vienna, a meeting among German, Italian, Hungarian, and Romanian foreign ministers takes place tonight to discuss the Balkan crisis. Now the news direct from the German capital.
This is Berlin. The German Foreign Affairs Minister, Herr von Ribbentrop, acting with Count Ciano, his Italian counterpart, has invited the Hungarian and Romanian foreign ministers to a special conference to be held in Vienna. These conversations will open tomorrow. Count Ciano and Herr von Ribbentrop are meeting in Vienna tonight at 6 p.m. The Foreign Office press conference this morning shed some further light on this visit. First, the Axis foreign ministers will meet this evening and discuss the whole situation. Then the Romanian and Hungarian ministers will be called in. At the Foreign Office this morning, the spokesman emphasized one point. He said that Germany did not want to be placed in the position of an arbiter. Well, the Vienna conferences are supposed to finish by Friday, and on that day, Hungarian and Romanian foreign ministers will return to their respective capitals. And with a good idea of just how the Axis powers, who now dominate Europe, thought about the Balkan question. And the question of Transylvania may be finally settled. The official news agency has just put out an advance report on the operations of the German Air Force over England last night. According to this source, German planes bombed automobile works at Derby, motor works and airplane factories at Birmingham. The same report claims that the Spitfire factory at Birmingham was hit. As you know, the Spitfire is the number one British pursuit ship. And the German planes also attacked the ports of Southampton and Chatham last night. And the Day on Bay tells us that the naval docks at Chatham were set on fire. This morning, here in Berlin, we had a pint-sized air raid alarm about 9 a.m. But it only lasted 3 minutes, which is hardly time for some people to get out of bed and get dressed. During the 3 minutes, there was no evidence of British air activity over the city. Incidentally, in some big factories, posters have been put up announcing that the work will continue through air raid alarms. Or it is pointed out, the necessary wartime production must continue. And the Association of National Socialist Women in Berlin has issued an appeal for voluntary women workers for the factories. The organization explains that volunteers are needed for 6-week periods, so as to provide some vacation for the regular workers. The question of the Nordic race, or the Aryan race theory of National Socialism, is a confusing one for outsiders. And this situation isn't helped much by an explanation of what a wartime Nordic is supposed to be. This explanation is published in the last issue of Der Schwarzkorb, the weekly newspaper of the Schutzstaffel, or the SS men. Its main theme is this. It is a mistake to try to identify the real Nordics by the fact that they wage war against Germany. And per se, the Dutch, British, Norwegians, and Belgians are not Nordics because they wage war against Germany and are the allies of the Jewish race. On the other hand, writes this paper, the Italians, who are not Nordics, have proved to be more Nordic in their attitude than the other nations mentioned. The decisive point is the method that determines the Nordics, says this paper. So the paper claims that the problem of races cannot be solved by mere theories, for the important thing is what, in this paper's viewpoint, is the voice of blood, end of quote. The Winter Relief Campaign will open on September 1st this year, a month earlier than usual. This is a collection for the German poor, is an annual affair in Germany. There's a report here in the papers that all German soldiers who were taken prisoner in France have now been returned to Germany. This is Edwin Hartrich, returning you now to Columbia in New York.
And from New York, we switch you to the British capital for the latest news reported by Eric Severide. Go ahead, London.
This is London. London has a new word for the isolated night flights of German planes which keep the people awake. They now call them jitter raids. And they tell us this morning that last night's jitter raids on London did no military damage at all. A number of houses were flattened out, gas mains and sewage works were damaged, and one garage smashed in. These single raiders were over 100 different areas during the night. There were no mass attacks anywhere, and most of the bombs fell from a very great height. In the northeast, however, A passenger train is reported to have been machine-gunned. The train went on slowly until it could stop for protection in a tunnel, and no one was hurt. This morning, raiders are reported over the southwest in Wales, and later, 23 heavy German bombers were over a southeast town flying very high and escorted by a large number of fighters. They bombed objectives a short distance inland and then flew back. A hurricane shot down one of these Messerschmitts. The pilot bailed out and the plane crashed into an orchard. The German was captured. The Germans are now said to be dropping a new type of incendiary bomb. It's of cheap manufacture, and they are using them by thousands. It is oblong in shape, made of thin metal, and contains paraffin and pitch. Obviously, some changes must be made in the system of taking cover in London at night. Nobody, despite the danger, will long be willing to spend hours every night underground. They will do as they did in Barcelona and Paris, simply stay in bed. The Ministry of Home Security will make a statement in a day or two with new suggestions. Today, an official at the ministry answered a few questions. He said the government is not yet ready to advise people to stay in bed just because they don't hear gunfire or explosions. Two or three nights' experience with these new raids is not enough. Factory workers will get some sort of special warning. Watchers on factory roofs will be organized, and they will wait until a plane seems close and danger appears imminent. Only then would they give the signal to leave tools and take cover. This official said people cannot be compelled to take cover, nor can they be prevented from leaving public shelters whenever they wish. But he asked that people not set bad examples by continually popping in and out of shelters just to see what's going on. The wardens in shelters are urged to keep plenty of drinking water on hand. The official urges Londoners to carry iron rations, such as chocolate or a package of nuts and fruit. These, it's suggested, could be carried in gas mask cases. Smoking is still to be forbidden in shelters, no matter how long the wait. The air in underground rooms is usually poor as it is. He advises mothers to take a half-hour nap after lunch. They are told they should not waken sleeping children while the sirens are still sounding. They sound only for 2 minutes, during which time the mothers should gather up gas masks and clothes. They ought to waken their children only during the silent period after the alarm. The British submarine Spearfish is now given up as lost. It is long overdue. The Spearfish men won fame early this year when they attacked the Nazi pocket battleship Admiral Scheer. They came to the surface to find the Scheer a short distance away in a dead calm. They torpedoed the boat and later reported that she could not possibly have reached home. Commander Forbes of the Spearfish was awarded the DSO for this attack. General de Gaulle said the other night that the Petain government is handing over 800 French warplanes in Africa to the Axis powers. This morning, the London Times reports that this allegation is confirmed from reliable people in Tangier. Originally, there were 1,200 modern French warplanes in North Africa. Only a few score are left. The others are now being flown in small formations to east, near Marseille, and then handed over to Italians and Germans. A communique from Cairo this noon announces an air raid over Alexandria and Port Said. This took place early this morning. We are told there were no casualties and no considerable damage. This is the first report of an air raid over Port Said since the war began. This is CBS in London. We return you now to Columbia, New York.
And here in New York is Linton Wells to give you more news and his analysis of the latest developments. Mr. Wells.
As Edwin Hartridge told us from Berlin this morning, Hitler and Mussolini are moving swiftly to prevent the Balkan powder magazine from blowing up. Yesterday, word leaked out that for 3 days there had been serious border fighting between Romanian and Russian troops in northern Moldavia, and that the disturbances had spread westward to Transylvania, resulting in clashes between Romanian and Hungarian forces. The reasons for the Russo-Romanian border incidents are rather obscure, although the Romanians accuse the Reds of having violated their territory again, indicating a Soviet intention to grab off additional areas besides Bessarabia. Latest reports say that the Reds and Romanians have stopped fighting temporarily. The Romanian-Hungarian flare-up follows last week's breakdown of diplomatic negotiations instigated by Hitler. the aim of which was to force Romania to cede a large slice of Transylvania to Hungary. The Hungarians charged that a Romanian plane shot down one of their bombing planes over Hungarian territory, which led to border fighting by land forces. Whatever the present causes, age-old Balkan hatreds are responsible, and they are not easily quieted in these days of tension. Nevertheless, Hitler and Mussolini have set the machinery in motion to keep the Balkans at least relatively quiet, and thereby avoid a situation which may imperil their warfare against Britain. While pressure reportedly is being brought to bear upon Russia, Romania and Hungary, through diplomatic channels leading from Berlin and Rome to Moscow, Bucharest, and Budapest, the Nazi and fascist foreign ministers have rushed to Vienna for a command conference with Romanian and Hungarian high officials tonight. Foreign Minister Ribbentrop will preside at this meeting, which will be held in Vienna's ancient Belvedere Castle tonight. And there are indications that if his and Count Ciano's settlement efforts fail, Romania will be summarily ordered to capitulate to Hungary's territorial demands under threat of immediate invasion by the Nazi forces. This, of course, is really the move Hitler and Mussolini want to avoid more than anything else. It might conceivably lead to a nationwide rebellion in Romania, spread throughout southeastern Europe and the Near East, and possibly disturb Russo-German relations. But this much is certain. Every diplomatic effort will be exerted to ensure peace in the Balkans by negotiation, supported, however, by a clearly indicated Rome-Berlin intention to fight to maintain that peace if necessary. As Eric Severide reported from London a few minutes ago, Britain has made a formal charge that the German Air Force has embarked on an indiscriminate terroristic bombing campaign to destroy civilian morale as well as military objectives. This charge would seem to have considerable foundation in fact, judging by the widespread night activities, jitter raids, as Eric Severide terms them, of the Nazi Air Force, and as our Berlin correspondent has freely reported from time to time. The German flyers appear to be trying to make as great nuisances of themselves as possible by dropping bombs indiscriminately over the countryside in an effort to disturb the sleep of the inhabitants of the British Isles and thereby impair their working efficiency. This British accusation, incidentally, has been backed up by a high English army officer with whom I've been talking. He left England just a fortnight ago and has been acquainting me with the situation there. And I know him so well that I can place considerable credence in what he tells me. He says that the morale of the British public is higher than he has ever seen it at any time in his life. That from Land's End to the Moray Firth, in North Scotland, the people collectively have no shadow of a doubt over the outcome of the present war, which they think will be a British victory. That, of course, is natural. He says that while the German Air Force has done considerable damage and will continue to do so, it has in no wise interfered with British production of essential war supplies. In fact, he insists that British aircraft production will equal that of Germany by the end of this month and that the English planes are infinitely superior. My English military friend declared that 4 out of every 5 German planes shot down over the British Isles carry no instruments at all. This bears out the recent statements that Nazi air squadrons are playing the game of following the leader, whose plane is equipped with a set of instruments but no radio, and frequently this proves disastrous for the Germans. He also said that the efficiency of the German flying personnel is not what it was because youngsters are being sent out in high-speed planes with just a few hours of training, which makes them easier prey for the RAF. But his most interesting statement was that the RAF has discontinued the training of pilots, because it has 25,000 in reserve and considers that they will be ample to achieve a victory over Germany. And as for an invasion of the British Isles, my friend says that the south and east of England, for a distance of 20 miles back from the coast, contains the greatest mobilization of fortifications and well-armed men the world has ever seen.
And with this analysis by Linton Wells from New York, Columbia concludes this morning report of European developments. We listen to Edwin Hartridge reporting from Berlin, Eric Severide reporting from London. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.